John Graves, author of Goodbye to a River, Hard Scrabble, and From a Limestone Ledge, died earlier this week. His passing from this world marks the departure of a writer regarded by many as the best and most beloved in Texas. Graves wrote fiction and nonfiction, but his most celebrated works were first-person narratives discussing the land and culture of Texas, with an emphasis on the changes wrought by the 20th century. His skill as a writer enabled him to do what most writers can't do. Graves expressed a love for the past without sounding sentimental. He warned of the consequences of overdevelopment without sounding shrill. And Graves' prose was consistently lyrical without sounding florid or forced. I'm joined today by another Texas writer, Kip Stratton, president of the Texas Institute of Letters. Kip, good morning, and thanks for taking a little time to talk about John Graves for the benefit of our audience here in Northeast Texas.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Kip, Graves is one of those writers with whom people seem to form a personal connection. Could you say a little about your experience with Graves' writing and how it affected you, how being a reader of Graves influenced you both personally and professionally?
Well, I remember vividly reading Goodbye to a River the first time. I was living in a trailer house in the middle of nowhere trying to write a novel, and I would spend my reading time stretched out on a couch, and I started reading Goodbye to a River, and I was trapped immediately by the prose. He was a marvelous prose stylist, and he had, I discovered in that book, the rare gift of maintaining an elevated prose style that throughout a 300-plus page work. And that is a tremendous gift. That's something that writers of the nature of a Hemingway or a Faulkner or a Joyce can accomplish that. But his style was elevated, yet at the same time, it wasn't difficult in the way that Faulkner's could be. It was an inviting style. It was like stepping into a river on a hot day. It was refreshing to get into it. So the style itself brought you into this book, and it seemed to be a simple book on the one hand, about a man and a dog and a fly rod, and you know, going down a stretch of river that he feared was going to be dammed up and lost forever. In a canoe, and that seemed simple enough, but soon I realized that this was a book about folklore, and that this was a book about history, and that this was an extended personal narrative, and that this was a book also about environmental concerns on some profound level. And all of these things, and also, a book about history, I should say, and all of these things came together seamlessly and flowed through this marvelous style. And I realized there was a cadence to each chapter of this book, and I thought this was just marvelous how this cadence was maintained through each chapter. Then each paragraph seemed to have a cadence to it. And, you know, as somebody who was, becoming a writer at the time, I was just totally taken by this book. And I read it through, then immediately began it again. And that was my initial Graves experience. And then as I moved on to his other books, as the years progressed into Hard Scrabble, and then I was reading his essays in Texas Monthly as they appeared and then subsequently collected in From a Limestone Ledge and so forth. I always had that kind of similar experience with Graves. It was so easy to move into his work, but at the same time, when you got into it and you started thinking about everything that was going on here, you realized that it was really complicated and very important matters were at work here. Yet he was never heavy-handed, never once heavy-handed. And I just thought this was extraordinary, and his ability to keep his one-of-a-kind style going through all of this writing was just tremendous. And I never saw a style breakdown once. I've read a lot of Graves over the years, and it's always there. It's always pure and always great. And then it also extended to his short fiction, which a lot of people tend to overlook, that he was a master of the short story, one of the very best. And for my money, I've never read a better short story written by an American author than The Last Running. So, you know, he was just this extraordinary, extraordinary writer who never held up a sign saying, "I'm extraordinary." It was always an open door for the reader to just move into this place very easily.
If someone who never read Graves was curious and wanted to read him, what would you suggest as something to get started?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I'd almost recommend finding the short story, The Last Running, which has been anthologized many times, which is based on a true incident that involved a legendary Texan, Charles Goodnight, who was approached by some Native Americans who asked him if they could hunt one of the buffalo he had in his private herd one last time in the old way before, you know, these Indians went off to die. And then Graves took this and made this into this marvelous story. And I think that would be a good place to start. You know, From a Limestone Ledge or individual essays, where you can get a dose, you know, if you want to just read some short Graves things. But of course, the masterpiece and the book that just towers in American literature, in my opinion, is Goodbye to a River. And that's the one that I think is essential reading. And if you're just going to read one Graves work, it has to be Goodbye to a River.
Changing Texas was a theme for Graves, and today the state is increasingly urban and increasingly multicultural. Graves' writing is about the Texas that he knew, which was mostly rural and mostly white. Do you think John Graves would be relevant to a young person in Dallas or Houston with no connection to the land and culture that's the subject of most of Graves' writing?
Well, I do think so, in that when you get beyond the changing cultural makeup of Texas, underneath all of us, what we all walk on is the land. And his elemental concerns were land, water, wind, those things that we all deal with regardless of our backgrounds. And I think for young people today who seem to have a very heightened sense of environmental concerns, they could look at Graves' work and see a man who shares with them a great concern about the environment and about the land and about preserving the land and not sacrificing the elemental value of the land in the name of progress without thinking these things through. So I think that if you know, regardless of your roots, if you are concerned about the environment and concerned about the land, you could approach a book like Goodbye to a River. And, you know, sure, it is more than 50 years old now, so I guess you would have to approach it with some perspective as it being a work from the past, in the same way that perhaps you would view Thoreau's Walden as a book from the past. But there's still much, much, much in Graves' work that speaks to people today, and I think will speak to people eternally, because he had a way of getting down to those core values that will always be important to people.
Larry McMurtry is probably the best known Texas writer. And although McMurtry's work is clearly different from Graves, there's some thematic overlap in that both writers addressed the tension between old and new Texas. Mm-hmm. Do you think this tension is always going to be a part of Texas literature? Is this a place, Texas, that's a bit like England or New Orleans, in that the past is so big a presence that its shadow is always going to hang over any narrative about its present or future?
You know, I tend to agree with Faulkner that ultimately the past is not even past. It's with us. in that, everything we're doing today is because of something that happened in the past, and so it's totally relevant. And I think that that tension will always be here with us, and that tension is just wonderful fodder for a writer to deal with. The tension will change as the years progress, but the difference between what was and what is and what will be is going to be just great material for Texas writers, and certainly McMurtry has used that wonderfully in his books, and the books that I would consider the Archer City series that began with The Last Picture Show, and I guess now have gone through maybe five novels, really have dealt with that masterfully. And I think when we have a chance to step back and look at that series of books, we'll see that about how, a really fine novelist is able to deal with that tension in a small town in a particular region. So I think it will always be here, and I think it's been something that Texas writers have been able to draw on for a long time, and the complexion of it will change as time goes on, but that's going to be one of our key elements for writers to use for the source of their work.
Leaving aside considerations of literary merit, what's your favorite John Graves work and why?
Boy, I almost want to say a tie between Goodbye to a River and The Last Running. I would have to say The Last Running has maybe the most resonance. It's a short story, so it's, it's not 300 pages like Goodbye to a River, but, I grew up with and around, and as part of my culture, Native Americans, and certainly grew up with knowing and befriending many Comanches, I have a particular personal investment in the part of the country that story is set in, personal fascination with the American bison, and just the end of the frontier is that's something that interests me a great deal, and all of those things that come together in that masterful story. So it is hard to pick one, but for me personally, I think the one that causes me to for personal reasons to react the strongest would be that short story, The Last Running.
To wind up here, let me just leave it open-ended. Is there anything else you'd like to add about Graves or his work?
Well, his death was, not unexpected, but when it occurred, I think it was, Steve Harrigan called it earth-shattering, and I think that's accurate, because he's probably the best writer that we produced so far in Texas, and that's with all due respect to everybody else. Just the quality of the writing and the importance of the writing, and when someone like that leaves us, it really is a sober day. And so we'll not see the likes of him again. And the good news is, though, that with books, they last and they are eternal. So we can visit John Graves anytime by pulling Goodbye to a River or any of his other wonderful books down from the shelf. And there he is again. So that's the good news from this sad week.
We've been joined by Kip Stratton, president of the Texas Institute of Letters, speaking to us from Austin. Kip, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and reflections, and we certainly appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much.